You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast. This is not one of our normal numeric episodes, as Jason is out this week. And I wanted to return back to one of the most fundamental topics of the Christian faith. And that is the question, who is Jesus? You know, Jesus is for sure one of the most historically known figures that has ever walked on the face of planet Earth. In fact, there's more written about Jesus than any other historic figure. And it's pretty amazing, you know, when you really consider the reality of that, as Jesus came and was alive on this earth at a time when social media didn't exist, at a time when there was no TV, there was no fast way for communication to get around. And in fact, most people didn't even know how to read. So it wasn't even like, you know, there could be letters sent all over, and yet everybody in that day and age knew who he was and talk about him. Even Roman historians, who certainly were not Christians and definitely did not believe in anything that the church was selling, still wrote about Jesus as a historic figure, about his life, about his death, about the claims of his resurrection, you know, as Roman historians would say it, because they obviously didn't believe in Jesus, they didn't believe in his resurrection, and yet there is such a profound, ample amount of evidence from the historic record of the resurrection of Jesus. You know, so many people that were not believers in Jesus prior to his death then turn around all of a sudden and fully believe in him because they experienced and saw and talked and touched the very real resurrected Jesus. Despite him being such an important figure throughout the course of human history, this question hasn't become any less important. You know, this question stirs at the heart of so much of Christendom today in terms of what is the role of Jesus? What is the role of Jesus? And that's very much dependent on who Jesus is. It's a very important topic of discussion and certainly hasn't gone out of style. I mean, there are so many different perspectives when it comes to who is Jesus. And those perspectives have a dramatic effect on the ultimate outcome. What do I believe about Jesus will ultimately affect not who Jesus actually is, because truth is not dependent on what I believe about it. I don't buy into that postmodern idea. And of course, this podcast is very much supporting the idea of absolute truth. We fully believe that truth is absolute. And so what I believe about it really doesn't have much effect on the ultimate result, but it does have a profound effect on what then I believe and how I live in light of that belief. The result being it can lead me into the salvation that is offered through God Almighty, or it can lead me into an empty gruel of religion with a God that is very much more like my creation than the creator of all things. As we unpack this idea, I just wanted to spend some time really going back to sort of this fundamental, because we never get beyond it. It is so central to the Christian doctrine. So many different cults have come along and they try and explain to us a different Jesus. For example, you think of, you know, Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness or some of these offshoots of those things that we've talked about on this podcast before. And if you haven't heard those episodes, definitely go back and check them out, because I think they will help you really understand a lot about the character and nature of God and what is the gospel message. Very straightforward. But when it comes to Jesus, these perspectives are something less than Jesus being eternally existing divine Lord. You know, Jesus in Mormonism is the spirit son of God. He was not eternal, nor was God eternal in the Mormon line of thinking. And so Jesus really is more of a demigod, I guess you could say, in that line of thinking. And then, of course, in Jehovah's Witness, Jesus was created by God. He's not the spirit son of God. He wasn't eternal. He is not even authentically God, simply one who's created by God. And both of these views lead us to a radically wrong view of who Jesus is. But they're not alone. There are other forms of theology that present to us a Jesus that is not in line or not in keeping with what the Word of God presents for us about Jesus. You think of liberal theology, for example. While there's many offshoots of that, and they look very different in many respects, they fundamentally, though, have a core value that's the same. And we hope to, moving forward, talk more about liberal theology, because it's important to kind of grasp what it is and what that looks like. But for right now, all I want to say about this is that it presents to us a Jesus that is something less than eternal God, something less than eternal Lord of all creation, something less than the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty. You know, the God who in Isaiah 43, 10 and 11 presents himself. He says, I am Yahweh the Lord. There was no God before me and there will be no God after me. I alone save. And so the understanding of Jesus becomes critical to salvation that is presented to us. And so what I want to do with the time here in this episode is really focus a little bit on who does Jesus believe himself to be? Who does Jesus believe himself to be? How does Jesus present himself to us, and how is he presented to us in the Gospels? And I'm really going to focus specifically on the book of John in this case. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about Jesus, and the other authors present for us a lot of information about Jesus, but I just want to focus on this one line because we only have a few minutes here in this episode, and there's just way too much to cover. And the book of John, I believe, presents for us a really good picture of who Jesus is using Jesus's presentation of himself. So the book of John is written, we're told, in at the end of the book, in chapter 20, it says in verse 31, I've written this, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. This is the presentation for us of why did John write the book? Because he wants you to know that Jesus is God, very God, that he is the Son, the second person of the Trinity, that he was there with God at creation. He was there with God before, excuse me, I shouldn't say God. He was there with the Father before creation. He was there with the Father eternally, meaning he has always been with the Father. They have always been one, God in his Trinitarian nature as Father, Son, and Spirit. One God, yet eternally existing as three persons. Now, the Bible has a ton to say about that and to argue that, but I don't want to get off track here. the focus for this moment is on the person of Jesus. Who is he? Who does he describe himself to be? And so in the book of John, where the book begins with the very first introduction of who Jesus is, it says in verse 1, chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." It's a beautiful introduction. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Word? This Word that becomes flesh. And drop down to verse 14 of chapter 1 in John. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So who is this one that was with God, that is God? Who is this? It is the Son. It is Jesus Christ, the one who came as a human for the purpose of dealing with our sin. This is the beginning presentation. Who is this? So you see the bookends of the book of John. He lets you know, yes, this Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. And by believing in him, you can have life in his name. And he begins the book with the introduction, "This is the Word of God." This is God, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the book goes on to present for us, in Jesus' own words, who does Jesus believe himself to be? So jump over to chapter 5 of John, John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, we find this interaction between Jesus and the religious leaders. It says in verse 16, "So Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath. He was healing people. He was doing the things that he's doing. And the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am at work.'" Now listen to this in verse 18. "For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father and making himself equal to God." Jesus is saying he has the right to break the Sabbath and work on the Sabbath. Why? Because he is God. God has the right over his own creation. God can break the Sabbath. God can do these things. And so Jesus uses this as the argument. God is working on the Sabbath, therefore I am working on the Sabbath. Why? Because I'm God. And we know for sure that's his point. Because they try to kill him, all the more because he's declared himself God. They understood very well what Jesus was saying. This was not a miscommunication. He was declaring himself God. They knew it, and they were not happy about it at all. And this, we see this come up again. Jump over to chapter 8 in the book of John. John chapter 8, drop down to verse 58. And Jesus is responding to them. He's been speaking to them about his father Abraham. And they're like, how could you possibly, in verse 57, how could you have met Abraham when you're not even 50 years old yet? And Jesus responds to them in verse 58 of chapter 8. He says, "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, because Jesus, But Jesus hid himself and slipped away from the temple grounds. Why do they pick up stones to stone Jesus? Because Jesus declares himself to be Yahweh. The words Jesus speaks there is the grammaton. He is presenting the same words of God from Exodus 3:14 when it says, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me. This is Yahweh. Yahweh is the one who is. And what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am. He is declaring himself to be Yahweh, God, very God. Jesus is committing heresy unless Jesus is actually God. Because Jesus is making very clear that he is God. This is not the only time. I mean, John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, the Father and I are one. He is arguing his defense of himself that the Father is his second witness. They are one. Chapter 17, verse 21. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus praying to the Father, declaring that he and the Father are one. Not two, but one. Jesus is declaring himself to be God. And then, of course, in chapter 20, verse 27 and 28, Jesus is now resurrected, and he is inviting people, in this case, Thomas, to place his hands, put his fingers into the sides of Jesus. Feel the holes. Feel that this is the real Jesus who was put on the cross to be crucified. It says in verse 27, then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer. And Thomas responded to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus does not stop Thomas from worshiping him. All throughout the Old Testament, whether it be angels or prophets, anytime people try to worship them as God, what happens? They stop them. No, do not do that. I am not God. You cannot worship me. And yet Jesus allows himself to be worshiped because he's actually God. Yahweh gets the worship of Yahweh. Jesus can be worshiped because he is God. Now, my friends, this is so fundamental. Jesus is God, and that is the best news there is. And this, like I said before, this is not just the book of John. This is all over the Gospels. This is all over the New Testament. This is all over the Old Testament. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, we find in the throne room of God, they are worshiping the Lamb who was slain on the throne of God, in the throne room of heaven. Nobody but God is to be worshiped or will be worshiped or can be worshiped. And here they are worshiping the Lamb of God who was slain. They are worshiping Jesus who is on the throne. Why? Because he's God. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? there is so much evidence that Jesus was not just a man, that he was not just a good man, that he was not just a prophet, but he is absolutely God. And this is so important because when we get into the topic of liberal theology, this becomes so profound a difference. If we just believe that Jesus was a really good man, Jesus was a really good example, Jesus is the one we look to for how to live a Christian life, then we literally are missing out on the salvation that is ours through the divine Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, very God, the Father sending the Son to reconcile a sinful people back to himself. God, very God, who took on flesh, fully God still, yet fully man, able to be tempted and tested and deal with everything we as humans deal with, yet without sin. So Jesus could be our ultimate high priest, as Hebrews chapter 2 says, that Jesus suffered all of these things so that he can relate to us. And then Jesus goes to the cross and dies for our sin, taking on the punishment for everything we have done to violate our relationship with God. Jesus took it all to the cross, was buried, and guess what? The best news of all, and then was resurrected, proving once again he is God. And his salvation is sufficient for all our sin. The resurrection of Jesus proves that the salvation is enough for our sins. My friends, if you're listening to this podcast out there, and we know that there are those folks that are listening to this podcast who are not saved, because we've gotten letters from some of you. We've heard from some of you asking questions, and we encourage you, keep doing that. Even if you are saved, both saved and unsaved, send us your questions. We love to get them. It helps us to figure out what topics, what Bible topics are of interest to you as we're seeking to take the Word of God and break it up, break it down, and make it understandable. And so send us those questions. But we've gotten questions from people who are not believers in Jesus. And I want to say to you out there, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. He is God, very God, and he wants to reconcile you back to himself. He wants to restore you in right relationship with the Father. And he's provided that as a free gift through his death, burial, and resurrection. All you have to do is accept the free gift. It's a recognition that I'm sinful, that I've rebelled against God, that I need salvation, and then a turning to Christ and saying, I need you to be the Lord of my life. That salvation is available for you. As John puts it, this book was written so that you can believe that Jesus Christ is Messiah, and by believing, you may have life in his name.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.